Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Brown Girl Podcast. This is episode 30, and we are talking about first dates with our guest, Anne Kupura. Anne is the creator behind the blog Modern Desi Love, which is a resource to help South Asians create happier and healthier relationships. And today she's going to be sharing her best practices that she's compiled from her years of dating experiences. Anne is actually developing this into an online dating guide to publish in the future. And so for today's episode, we're talking specifically about the first date. So tips gearing up for the first date, some tactical methods to minimize the likelihood of bad first date experiences. We talked about the post-date follow-up. We talk about kissing on a first date or the first few dates, and we share some personal dating stories along the way. So I hope you guys enjoy. So we have a really hot topic today, but before we start, give us just a quick intro about yourself so the audience knows who you are.
Sure. My name is Anne. I'm in my mid-30s. I live in San Francisco Bay Area. I'm a lawyer by training. I also work on helping writers and female entrepreneurs get set up online. So everything from building their websites to developing their newsletters and social strategy. And on the side, I run this blog or Instagram page called Modern Desi Love. And I use it to talk about South Asian relationships so that we can all have happier and healthier relationships.
Yeah, awesome. That's actually how we got connected. I think it was through Instagram. So I know you've compiled a lot of your lessons learned from dating over the years.
Yeah. So I started developing like a list of rules or guidelines for myself. And I did it because I got divorced a few years ago. And so when I jumped back into dating, like everyone is online dating and I had never really online dated. So I was like, wait, what is this? Like, how do you go about doing this? So I felt like I needed like to figure out like my own like best practices. And so that's how I developed this guide after a series of trial and error dates about what was working and what was not. And so this like helping set up these guidelines really helped me have better date experiences, find people I was more interested in connecting with. And so that's how these like sort of guidelines came up. And the first guideline is always schedule a FaceTime before scheduling an in-person date. And I have just found that in my experience, people, the way they show up on a profile may or may not be how they actually show up in real life. And second, a really quick FaceTime is a really good way to see if you click with someone immediately. You know, someone can be perfect for you on paper, but then when you meet up, then there's like no connection, or someone can be like, oh, I don't necessarily think I have anything in common with this person, but like when you meet them, it could be much better in person. But just a small example of that, like, there was this guy that I connected with on, I don't know which app it was, but like, okay, he seemed cool. And I was like, okay, let's talk. So then we got on the FaceTime and he was bald, which isn't that big of a deal. Like all of his pictures though showed him like with hair or like wearing a hat. So was something he was like trying to cover up. And so I didn't particularly appreciate that.
Right.
Second, like the conversation was just really boring. Like it felt like every minute was just really painful to have a conversation with him. And so I was like, wow, like, I'm so glad I did a FaceTime, because otherwise I would have spent like 5 hours, like getting ready to go to the date, going to the date, coming back, like doing all that. But now like I did like a really quick FaceTime and I knew that like, you know, I'm not that interested in going out with this person.
Okay.
So that's why I always schedule a FaceTime before scheduling an in-person date.
Yeah. And I would imagine that this is probably more common now in a post-COVID world. I can imagine there's a lot of fatigue that happens with online dating that leads to disappointment. You know, like exactly what you said, this person doesn't look like their photos, they couldn't keep a conversation going or whatever. So pre-screening can save a lot of time and money and save a good majority of like bad dates. How long do you think this FaceTime chat should be? Like, should people be designating, you know, a set amount of time, whether it's like 15 minutes or 20 minutes, so that you don't feel this unnecessary pressure to keep the conversation going on forever out of politeness? Like, that's what I would be curious about.
It's a really good question. I generally, in my schedule, I allocate like 30 minutes for them. I think they can be as quick as like, I tell them be like, I don't know, like 5 to 15 minutes to be like, okay, you seem cool, let's go on a date.
Yeah,
like that's enough validation. I've had them go longer if they're well. I think the longest one I did was like an hour and a half. But yeah, it, like if the conversation's really flowing well, then like it's gone on longer too. So I don't know. But it doesn't have to be like anything really. It can just, I would schedule like 15 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. You talk to this person for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, you can't guarantee that the first date is going to go well just by having a preliminary call. But I do think it can improve the chances in most situations. I think there could be like a small percentage of people who just may not be good on camera, or they may be like thrown off by it. I don't know. Because like if you're good at video and the other person is so new to it, or they're just not familiar with it, like chances are they might feel intimidated than usual and just totally bomb it. And so, you know, maybe just like also take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Some people might not be comfortable doing it. I have found that most people are totally fine. Like, I've had a few people kind of push back and be like, I'd rather just meet in person.
Yeah.
But the mostly people have been very open to it. And I've just found that, like, however I feel during the video chat is also how I'm going to feel on the first date, and also how I'm going to feel every other time I meet them. Like, whatever happens is just, for me, it's just always been a very accurate representation of what it's going to be like to go out with them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is you have like an awkward 10-minute call, whatever. That's better than wasting a whole Friday night, right?
Yeah. And especially for women, like we have to get dressed up. Like we have to go places. It's just, you know, I think guys don't think like meeting in person doesn't mean as much for them because they don't have to do anything to get ready. But like, that's not what it's like for women. And I date in the Bay Area, and so I date like all around the Bay Area. And so going from one area of the Bay to another is like a time intensive process. And I'd rather not put in that time investment unless I'm like, okay, there's a reasonable chance this date might go.
Right. Tell us the second tip that you have.
Yeah. I ask guys out on these dating apps a lot, mostly because I found that a lot of the men that I was connecting with, I think were like, kind of afraid to ask me out, or like they weren't sure if they needed to spend a lot of time talking to me or texting me before they asked me out. And then like, you know, I'd do the FaceTime or I'd get to the date and I'd be like, you know, I don't really want to go out with you. And so I was like, oh man, I spent all this time texting with this guy who I don't want to go out with. And so that was kind of how I developed this rule of like, okay, like text a little bit to develop some banter and develop some connection. But then at some point, like after like, I don't know, like 2, maximum 3 days of texting, ask the person out. Like, I don't want to waste time investing my time and emotional energy in someone that I'm not going to like in person.
Yeah, it's definitely better to meet sooner than later in person, because I think it also just stops you from overthinking or like building up this idea in your head of like who they are. And that doesn't always match to reality. And I know that's happened to me plenty of times where I just like talked to someone for so long and it went like months before I actually met them in person. A lot of those situations, it was because long distance, but nonetheless, it was the same thing. I think all of that time spent of just like talking back and forth and kind of like being pen pals. And then when we met in person, it was just so not it.
Yeah, absolutely. I found that like one of my worst dates was 10 years ago or something, where I met someone who I think I met through OkCupid to something. And so he was sending me like really long text messages and I was like, wow, this guy seems really great. And then I met up with him at a bar and he like wouldn't make eye contact, like had nothing to say in person, like couldn't, just looked at his feet the entire time. And like, poor guy, he's probably super shy and awkward. But also I don't want to go, didn't want to date him. And I could have saved myself a long time. I didn't spend like weeks texting with him before meeting up with him in person.
Yeah. So schedule something sooner than later. If you're feeling, you know, a connection after a couple days, just one person, make the move. And I think I saw, it was either in the guide or in our preliminary chat, but you want to offer up a plan, right? Like, don't just say, what do you want to do?
Total true. I also leave, this is like a great opportunity, I think, for like guys to jump in. And so like, if I ask someone out, like, almost always the other person will be like, okay, well, how about we meet here at like whatever date, right? Like, and it's just a really good way to sort of match the energy and enthusiasm. Cause I think the reason why a lot of women don't ask out is because they're like, I don't know if this guy's actually interested in me. I don't know if he wants to go out with me. So I don't want to do that. But if you ask them out and they like respond with like a concrete plan, that shows interest and initiative. And I feel like nine out of 10 times when I ask someone out, like they do respond like that. And so it's sort of a confirmation of interest for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's move on to the next one. Tell us about the third tip that you have.
My third tip is about not texting too much for the first and second date. I have been in several situations where, again, I've texted a lot with someone and then only to like go on one, maybe two dates with them and then realize that, you know, we're not actually compatible. Like there's some major issues. And then it's hard for me. It's like I get more emotionally attached. And so it's harder for me to walk away from that person who I'm not compatible with. And so this is just what I do to like prevent myself from developing feelings too early. I don't text a ton between the first, like until after the second date, because I want to make sure that, okay, this person's actually like a legitimate prospect versus someone I'm going on a date with. And it really helps me keep my emotions in check.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I get you there. I think that for me, like that kind of goes back to the point I was saying earlier about just like this idea that you start building up in your head once you start like doing a lot of texting back and forth that may not actually match up to reality. Okay, let's move on to the next piece of advice, which is first dates are hit or miss, so schedule a low investment date. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I think there is almost nothing worse than being stuck at like a multi-hour dinner with someone you don't have much to talk about. And so you just never know what someone's going to be like in person. Like a lot of times people are fine, but maybe you just don't want to be hanging out with them for hours and hours. Like there was this guy that I was like really interested in this hour. And like we did the same, we played like online Scrabble together. And I was like, oh, like this guy's like seems super cute and cool. And then so we met up and luckily I followed this rule and I was like, okay, like we're going to go to a bar. And so we met up at a bar just for a drink, and I really wasn't having a good time in person. Again, another instance of someone being a great texter, but not necessarily like our energies didn't vibe in real life. You know, super like nice guy, sweet, fun, cute, but just it wasn't vibing. And so an hour and a half in, I was able to like leave. But like if I had committed to like dinner and like a much more lengthier activity, I would have felt really bad. And I would have been hanging out with him and but not really wasn't, it would not have gone anywhere. It would have been like a waste of both of our times. So I always try to schedule really low cost and low time investment activities so that if it's not going well, either one of us can leave early.
Yeah. I think we're long past the age where we're expecting like a full on, you know, sit down dinner when you're meeting for a first date for the very first time. I do think it's different if you've met someone like through a more organic setting, like maybe through work or something of that nature, where you kind of already have established some sort of friendship and you're wanting to see if it could lead to something more. And then like, I think a proper dinner date is more appropriate in those situations. But when you're meeting, you know, Joe Schmo off of Bumble, like just do something that's quick and low investment. And what happens like if you are on a date and you're not having a good time, what kind of advice do you have around that?
So I found myself in multiple situations where the waiter would come by for like, and they'd ask like, do you want a second drink? And I'd be like, I would want to say I want the check, but my date was like, yeah, I like a second drink. And I'm like, oh God, I'm here for another hour. And so I just started practicing an out statement when that happens, just to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I actually have to run. I'm going to this thing. And like, it's a joke in my family. I always say I have to like pick up my cousin from the airport. And so this is just, but like, I had to like actually practice it. Like I said it out, I wrote it out, I said it out loud to myself. And maybe it's because I'm like really bad at setting boundaries, but like I had to do all that stuff and I stayed out loud for each date just so that in case I get there and I don't want to be there any longer, I have now. And now that I've probably revealed this on a podcast, I can't ever use that line again. So great. Good job, babe.
Yeah, that's funny. It's easier if you have something in mind practice so that way you're not, you know, stumbling over your words when you're unexpectedly asked if you want to continue the date. Do you have any dating stories where you've actually had to use that out statement?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I've definitely used it. Yeah, just like that guy that I was in a bar with, he had the bar we were at was like really loud. And I guess I'm like noise sensitive, so I could develop migraines if I'm in an area that's like really loud. And so then I was like, this bar is not working. I have to get here. I was like, I just cannot be here, or else I'm gonna get nauseous and like all these things. And so I just was able to flirt out, like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go get my husband from the airport. And it worked. And so that's what I used on as my out statement.
You're gonna have to come up with a new one now.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we get to the date, we finish the date, and now we're back home. Let's say you weren't feeling it. What advice do you have for someone who went on a date and does not want to continue seeing this person? What's the best approach for that?
So generally, I don't know what I would advise guys. Well, okay, so as a girl, like, I just wait for the guy to text me. And sometimes he doesn't text me. And I'm like, great, it was mutually determined that we don't want to hang out again. And so then I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. That's best.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. No harm, no foul. Like, that happens. That's happened to me. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not that bothered by it. Other times, if they text me and I'm not interested in them, I'll just be upfront. Like, I have like something drafted on my phone, like a text message that I sent. Hey, it was super cool to meet you last night. I wasn't really feeling the connection between us, so I don't think we should go out again. Hope you have a lot of luck out there finding who you want. So I just have those kind of statements ready drafted and ready to go that I send. And so it's like pretty easy. I'm against ghosting. I think that if you went out with someone, be upfront and honest with them and communicate. I think that's just part of adulthood. And so I don't quite understand the ghosting culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think honesty is the best policy. It's a little different when things fizzle out, but if someone does reach out, you know, the right thing to do is respond.
Yeah.
Let's say you go on the date and you did have a great time and, you know, you want to see the other person again. Like, what should either person do next?
I think almost always when I leave the date, like if it's a great date, like usually but before the end of the date, the guy asks me out again. He'll say, you know, we should do this again sometime. And then like we schedule it, or he asks me to text him when I get home. And so I usually text and say, hey, I had a really fun time. Like, I'll see you next week, or looking forward to seeing you again. And then that usually gets him to like make more concrete plans.
Yeah.
And so I just find that that's a natural point to create the next step in seeing someone.
Yeah. PSA to all guys, if you go on a date and you like the girl and you want to see her again, texting, hey, let me know when you get home. Like, that goes a long way. I think every girl appreciates that.
Yeah. And like, if you text that, like, if you don't get a response, then maybe she doesn't want to see you again. But if she's like, hey, I had a great time, then that makes it really easy for you to ask her out again.
Yeah. And then as far as the second date, as far as like what to do on the second date, do you have any suggestions or advice around planning for that second date?
So I like more active dates. Like, I like going for walks, or I like walking around like an art exhibit, or just doing something where you can talk more face to face. So I try to schedule more of those kind of things. It's easier in the summer when it's like lighter out. I just find that like there's less activities like that. Those kind of activities indoors. And so now that it's like fall and it's getting darker, what I tend to do now is it's more of a standard like dinner date. And so I am willing to like, okay, I'll commit to having dinner with you. But it has to be someone I'm actually looking forward to having dinner with.
So yeah. I think the only thing I would add to that is picking something that allows you to explore some kind of shared interest together that you learned about on the first date. So like if you learned that both of you like a particular kind of food, or, you know, whatever it is, like a type of music or a type of workout or whatever, I think making that as a part of your second date is a pretty foolproof formula. I think anything that's like kind of thoughtful in nature will really go a long way. I remember a few years ago, I met this guy on a dating app, and we probably went on like maybe in total, we probably went on 3 or 4 dates before it just fizzled out. But on the first date, he came to a workout class with me, and that was basically supposed to be the date. But then he asked me if I wanted to walk over to the sushi place next door. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, it was totally fine. We had a great time. Like, we laughed a lot. He was really nice, really sweet and all of that. And I remember telling him during our date, I have no idea how this conversation came up, but like basically that week I had ordered a Yeti coffee mug and I'm a really big coffee drinker. And so this mug that I bought, the lid that came with the mug had like a permanent open spout. And so that open spout essentially meant that exposure would make my coffee get cold quickly. And it totally defeats the purpose of having a thermos that's supposed to like keep something warm, you know, like. And so if you wanted to get a lid that has the covering that you can open and close, you have to buy that as a separate accessory. And I'm like, out of principle, this is such a dumb design. Like, this is such a racket. Just make the damn mug with a spout that has a covering in the first place. And then it's also like, now I have to go and get another lid. And now I'm stuck with two lids. So anyways, whatever. First world dilemma. Somehow this rant came up on our date. And on our second date, he showed up with that exact Yeti lid that had the spout with the covering that opens and closes, which I was like, oh my gosh, that is so sweet. And I'm not saying you have to show up with like gifts. That's totally not what I'm saying. I think the point is like, if you had a really great time and you can remember something that happened or that you talked about from the first date and apply that, you know, in some way to the second date, I think that like really goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. I also like what you said about give people a chance. If you're not interested, try going on at least one more date.
So I dated someone last summer who at the onset, I was like, okay, he seems like a cool guy. Like, I wasn't super into it, but I was like, you know what? I'll like go out with him again. And so I went out with him a couple more times and I kept being like, there's no good reason why I should stop seeing this person. And I remember I asked him a question. For example, I was like, I wanted to know like why he was vegetarian. And I was like looking for a reason for me to not go out with him. But then he was like, oh, I think it's just like more ethical and better for the planet. And I was like, man, that was like such a good answer. Okay, fine. You get another date. So I just kept doing that. And I ended up really liking him. And it took several dates, and it ultimately didn't work out. But it just taught me that it's possible to build those kind of feelings and connection for someone. And so if I like someone and there's no particularly good reason why I shouldn't go out, there's no like red flags or anything, then I try to make the effort to go out with them again.
Yeah. And I think it's totally normal that it can take a date or two to really warm up to someone and just be yourself. Like, I mean, naturally on a first date, like, you may not feel entirely yourself because you're a little nervous. I think that's normal. And so I agree with you. Unless you see some alarming red flags, it doesn't hurt to at least give someone another chance and just see if something picks up more on that second date.
Yeah. And obviously, like, if you're not into it, you're not into it. But if you're like unsure, then give it a try.
Totally. I think the whole, I know we're kind of jumping over the place, but I think the whole like playing hard to get is kind of overrated. It's just not attractive to me, you know, in my opinion. Like, I'm not saying like throw yourself onto someone, but if you had a good time and you want to see someone again, let them know, you know, like confidence is attractive and it's attractive when someone has the confidence to put themselves out there and be vulnerable.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also think that like playing hard to get is like, it's not the relationship you want where you're constantly playing hard to get. Like, you know, You're setting the tone and dynamic of the relationship. And I kind of think that, like, you should be upfront if you like someone, again, throw yourself at them, but like be upfront about your interest level. And if that person doesn't reciprocate, then that person doesn't reciprocate. Like, we all have our hyper specialized checklist of whatever we're looking for. Don't take it personally and move on to the next one. Like, clear the space so that the universe can bring someone better for you.
Right. What kind of advice do you have around kissing someone on the first or second date?
I almost never kiss on the first date. I don't, because I find that like you're just two strangers meeting up. Like, it doesn't, there has to be a lot of sort of warming up that has to happen before I feel comfortable to kiss someone. And for me, that doesn't usually happen on the first date. Not that it never happened, but it often doesn't happen. So I sort of take that expectation off the table, which I found reduced a lot of nervousness. My part for some reason. And so now I just focus on like, do I like this person? Do I want to go on a second date with them? And I don't let myself think about kissing them.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's talk about maybe just like how to think about kissing in those first few dates. So if you're a girl and you are open to a kiss from the guy, what are some things that you can do to kind of signal your openness?
Yeah. So I created this whole process for myself to like figure out like if I do want to kiss someone, which again doesn't happen so often on the first date, but if I do want to, like, how do I make it happen? And so the first thing that I do is I break the touch barrier. So just like when I meet him, I like I'll hug him, and then like when we sit down to chat, like I'll just like grab, I'll like lightly touch his arm, or just like, you know, put my hand on his back, just like as we were walking to guide us. Just little things to like break that touch barrier to make him feel that, okay, I'm open to physical touch. Sometimes I'll go as far as to hold his hand if I feel that comfortable, or like play with his hands. Like if I'm like trying to be flirty about it, like I'll like hold his hands and like play with his fingers. And then the last thing I do is like when we're saying goodbye, I kiss him on the cheek. And that is almost every guy I've gone out with has taken that as an indication that I'm open to being kissed, and they will reciprocate. So that's sort of how I lead up to that moment.
Yeah, yeah. I think that makes sense. You know, like just signaling your openness. And sometimes they just need a little confirmation that you're open to it.
Yeah. So one time, like I was talking to this guy and I said something about, you know, like, what's the big deal about first dates? And he's like, when was the last time you initiated a first kiss? And I was like, oh, that's a good point. And then I realized that, like, oh, that must be really scary for them. And how would I, like, if I wanted it to happen, how would I make it easier for them? Let them know that that's something I'm open to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when it comes to kissing, I mean, it's just like, you know, you just got to read the room. No two first dates or even second dates are going to be alike. And it's totally up to you to read the room and assess how you feel. Most of the time, it's just something that happens in the moment. But like, you know, don't be like weird and try to force one. I have had like first dates where we kiss. Most of the time, it doesn't happen, but it has happened. And it felt totally normal and natural. You know, like I think it's just important to remember, like, it's totally your decision. You know, like every date is going to be different.
Yeah, like I totally want to dispel the myth that you have to kiss on the first date. Like, I don't think that's true at all. I do think it should happen for the second or third date, just because, like, otherwise she might just think you're just friends and you're not into her. So, yeah, if you are into this person, then definitely try and make that happen by the second or third date.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like when men walk you to your car if it's at night?
It depends on how comfortable I feel. A lot of times I don't let men walk me to my car. I just find that that's like a really great situation for them to try to kiss me if I'm not into it. And so I'm like, just try to sort of hug them goodbye. And then if they're like, oh, if he's to your car, and they'll be like, oh no, I'm good. I'm just going to make a phone call. And so that is, yeah, that's what I normally do. Sometimes I will let them walk me to the car. Almost every guy that I go out with attempts to walk me to my car. And so I get really weird and touchy about it. And so I'm just like, you know, if I'm like lukewarm or like it's a no for me, then I'm just kind of like, I would rather have my space to walk to the car.
So basically it's like, if you're into them, then it's fine. If you're not into them, then it's like, no.
Don't. Yeah, I mean, guys always offer, right? Like, lots of girls want to be walked to their car. And, like, I live in San Francisco, and there's, like, tons of really, like, sketchy streets. And so I don't always say no, but, you know, always ask. There are other girls who might be more into it than I am.
Yeah. I think I would definitely appreciate someone offering. But that doesn't mean that I will, like, say yes, but I would definitely appreciate it, and I would take note of that. How has the online dating experience been for you, like, overall post your divorce?
You know, it's kind of strange for me just because I'm dating in a new area than when I dated when I was younger. I lived on the East Coast, and so I was dating there, and I was meeting people organically because I was, like, in my early 20s, and now I'm in my mid-30s, and so things have changed a little bit. So it's hard for me to know, like, how much is it online dating? How much is it because I'm sort of in a different phase of life and I'm different? And how much is it that, like, the people I'm going out with are different? So it's been definitely, like, it took me a while to get that swing of things, to figure out, like, okay, how do I do this well? And so recently, now that I have, like, since I've implemented, like, all my numerous guidelines, I'm having better experiences. I go on a lot of dates. I try to go on, like, one a week. And so that's been interesting. I'm trying to be more focused and figure out, like, okay, who do I actually want to go out with, and try to be more choosy, because I felt like I was getting burned out of going on all these dates. And so I'm just trying to be more intentional with my efforts. And mostly, like, I essentially just switched my perspective from being like, I'm going to do this until I find my next partner, to feeling like, you know what, this is, like, something I do, like, one night a week. I go on a date. I get to meet someone, hear a different perspective. And, like, if it goes somewhere, great. If it doesn't go anywhere, great. Like, I'll just have, like, a fun evening. And that's sort of, like, the only thing that I'm trying. And, like, also it gives me, like, good stories to tell my friends and family. My siblings always say that hearing about my dates is, like, their favorite TV show. So they just watch different characters come in all the time, and they're always looking for updates. And so thinking about it and shifting my perspective as this is how I'm going to meet my next partner to I'm just going to enjoy myself has really helped me take a chill pill about this, because I used to, like, go on these dates and get really upset if it wasn't going well. Now I sort of just go and have fun, and if it's fun, then I'm like, great, I met my expectation. And if it's not, I'm like, oh, well, that didn't work out. Moving on.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I actually had a friend who, she lived in New York for many years, and she just got so burned out from dating. And she said she started kind of thinking about it in a similar fashion, where she was like, you know what, there's all these different lounges and restaurants and places that I want to see, like, check off my bucket list while I'm living in New York City. Let me just use the dates as a way to do that. And so that kind of, like, alleviated a lot of the pressure of, like, oh, I'm going on a date so I can go on a second date and then meet my boyfriend who's going to turn into my husband. And just instead of that, to, okay, I'm just meeting someone and we're going to go and do something fun that I would have wanted to do regardless of whether it was a date or not.
Yeah.
One question I have for you, because it's been a while since I've been off the apps, and I think now the voice memos are a lot more common. Do people use voice memos, and do you like it when people that you're chatting with share a voice memo to the app?
Yes, people do use voice memos. I think Hinge has, like, a prompt for it, so you can include it in your profile. I'm pretty sure I had one. I have seen other people. I think this past summer, I saw a lot more people using that voice memo feature on the profile. Mm-hmm. Do I like it? I think it's kind of cool. I think if that is an option on someone's profile, I almost always click it.
Yeah.
It just gives you, like, a much greater, like, a profile is so flat. You don't know anything about this person. But being able to hear their voice or seeing them on video or seeing them on FaceTime, that gives you a really good sense of who this person is. And so that's sort of, I found it pretty helpful. I haven't had too many voice memos come across in messages. It's just on their face profile. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about, like, do you recommend keeping your conversations within that app platform for however many dates before actually exchanging phone numbers and then moving the conversation to actual SMS, you know, text messaging?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I don't like being on the apps. I've set myself, like, a limit of, like, I think 30 minutes a day. And honestly, like, 90% of days, I'm not on it. I just find the whole process kind of draining, and I don't like the commoditization of people, like it, how it prompts you to go through new profiles. And so my profile is, like, paused while I chat with two or three people at a time, and then while, like, once I match with two or three people who I'm interested in, then I pause my profile so I don't see other people, so I can just focus on the people I meet and treat them like actual people, because I found that I was, like, getting distracted by, like, all of these, like, endless possibilities, when I was like, wait, but, like, I need to actually explore the people that I connected with. And having the profile, having the apps, like, prompt me to see tons more profiles just led to me being burned out and overwhelmed. And so I just I don't spend that much time on the apps. That said, like, so I try to like chat with them a few times on the app. Then I schedule a FaceTime. And by the time we schedule a FaceTime, they kind of need my number to schedule that actual FaceTime. And so for that reason, we share numbers and then we go from there. And then from there on, it's just texting and it's not app-based.
Right. You mentioned pausing your app. I didn't even realize that that was an option to be able to pause your app. So does that mean that you can still be active on the app and communicate with people? You're just not getting new people showing up in your queue?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, yeah, that's exactly what it means. It means that I can still communicate, but I'm not shown new profiles and my profile is not shown to other people.
Okay.
Because oftentimes, like, if I don't do that, then I'll get like tons of messages and I'll be like, okay, I'm not responding to any of these people. And I feel like that's just a shitty experience for guys. And online dating sucks. I think it must really suck for guys. And so that's what I do to manage this process for me.
Yeah, makes sense. I think we covered a lot. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to share before we end this episode.
I think the number one thing I have learned is that online dating is, maybe dating in general, probably requires a lot of emotional resiliency. And so build that in, whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's having all these tips on how I make it more likely that I'm going to enjoy connecting with someone, whether via message or, and hopefully in person. And then two, being like, okay, I just talk to two or three people at a time. I really explore these few people as potential matches. And then if and when these don't work out, then I move on to my like next batch of two or three people. So for example, I connected with a bunch of people in early August, and I am still working through my backlog of folks from early August. I'll probably be doing that for the rest of the year, and I probably won't open up the apps again until early January. And that's just how I do things, so that I feel like I can treat people as people.
Yeah.
And not like, totally. Okay, there's always another person. Like, yeah, there is always going to be another person, but like everyone has their issues. It's like the paradox of choice. And so these are just things I do to help my brain stay grounded rather than thinking about, oh, well, I don't like this about this person. Like, well, what if there's someone else out there who's like better in this way, right? There's a sample size that's important.
Yeah.
Finally, I give myself breaks. So I go on date. I try to go on one date a week. If it doesn't happen, like, no big deal. And if I start feeling overwhelmed and feeling like I'm going to burn out, then I stop. And that is like the way I keep myself from keep going in this process rather than just giving up. And it usually happens, you know, I'll pause it for a few weeks and then I'll feel better and I'll be like, okay, I'm ready to stab at this again. And that's just how I get through life, like break down things I don't want to do into like manageable chunks and then tackle it a little bit at a time.
Yeah. No, I think those are such great pieces of advice.
Julie, I have one more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple of resources that I found really helpful for online dating. There's this book called How Not to Die Alone by Logan Yuri, which I thought was like really helpful in trying to understand how you should think about and approach and develop your own strategy for online dating. And I also follow this podcast called Dating Intentionally, and that I found that's really helpful. And Finding Mr. Height. Those are two other podcasts I found helpful for online dating.
Finding Mr. Right. Is that what
it is? Mr. Height. Finding Mr. Height.
Like Height, H-E-I-G-H-T?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. This was a really fun topic. I'm excited to release this. I know this is going to be like a very popular.
Yeah, cool.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Anne. I have linked all of those resources that Anne mentioned in the show notes. If you're new to this podcast and you enjoyed today's episode and you want to listen to other dating and relationship episodes we've done in the past, you can reference episodes 12, 13, and 28. I have added those to the show notes so you can download and save directly from whichever listening platform you're currently using. Thanks so much again, and I'll catch you at the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thebrowngirl_podcast and all other social media platforms listed in the show notes. Thank you again. I appreciate you being here.